Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Welcome, welcome, welcome to today's edition of the BCCI's Let's Talk Business, the program where we examine the issues shaping Barbados's business environment and ask the hard questions that matter to enterprises large and small. I am Crystal J. Paul, and today we're turning our attention to a topic that continues to dominate boardrooms, balance sheets, and policy discussions. That's digital transformation. Across Barbados, businesses are being encouraged to digitize operations, adopt new technologies, and modernize how they serve customers. From digital payments and e-commerce to automation, data use, and cybersecurity, transformation is no longer seen as optional. But the real question remains, are businesses actually keeping up, or are some being left behind? While digital tools promise efficiency, cost savings and access to new markets, many businesses still face challenges such as high implementation costs, skills gaps, unreliable infrastructure, and uncertainty about where to start. For small and medium-sized enterprises in particular, the pace of change can feel overwhelming rather than empowering. At the same time, digital readiness is increasingly tied to competitiveness. Businesses that fail to adapt risk losing customers, falling behind regional competitors, or missing opportunities in areas like online trade, digital payments, and cross-border services. The pressure to modernize is growing, but so are the risks of getting it wrong. So today on Let's Talk Business, we ask, what does digital transformation really look like in practice for Barbadian businesses? Are current systems, policies, and support mechanisms helping firms transition, or are they creating new barriers? And how do businesses balance innovation with affordability and sustainability? To help us unpack these issues, we are joined by two guests with valuable insight into the digital and business landscape, Mr. Kalade Nurse and Mr. Dennis Augustine. Together, they will help us explore where businesses are making progress, where gaps still exist, and what practical steps can be taken to ensure digital transformation works for everyone. This is Let's Talk Business. Stay with us as we dive into whether Barbadian businesses are truly keeping pace in a rapidly digital world. Kalade Nurse, BCCI's Chair of the Digital Societies Committee. Welcome to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, and Mr. Dennis Augustine, founder of DX Alliance. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we'll start off with you, Kalade. When we talk about digital transformation in the Barbadian business context, you know, we have to bring it home. We have to make it relevant to a local space. What does that actually mean beyond having a website or social media presence?
Well, I mean, when we think of digital transformation, I think we have to put it in the right frame, right? And really, that is about people, process, technology, governance, and now in particular change management. By that I mean that, you know, technology is one piece of the house when we think about digital technology, right? So we think of, do we need computers? Do we need software and applications and so on? But before we get there, do we have a clear understanding of what our processes are, where they're at? You know, are they manual? Are they automated, partially automated? And do we need to automate those again? Further efficiencies and effectiveness in how we deliver services. When we think of people, as much as we implement technology solutions to make life better for our staff and for the customers that engage with us, is this technology human? Is it people-centric? Is it easy to use? And does it actually add the value that you want to get out of it? We talk a bit about governance, which is about how are we managing this digital technology when we implement it to make sure that it is used properly. We have the right kinds of controls in place to make sure we can thwart cybersecurity-related threats. Do we have abilities for planning and management of ongoing evolution of our digital environment as we continue to use it. I mentioned change management, which is a huge component now of digital transformation, which is again tied to people. And that speaks to this question of how do we make sure that when we start to automate and we start to layer these technology components into our business, how do we bring our staff along on that journey? How do we bring our customers along on that journey so that you have a high level of adoption? And again, you are able to achieve the return on investment that you're hoping to achieve out of whatever piece of technology that you want to implement.
Thank you so much. Now, from what you're seeing on the ground, how digitally prepared are most businesses right now, particularly small and medium-sized enterprises?
Well, from my perspective, I think the Barbados landscape is a little bit of a mixed bag. What you will see would be larger, more mature businesses that are heavily capitalized, especially those in the financial services sector. They tend to be more mature in terms of their digital readiness and their adoption and use of digital technology as a part of their business. And again, whether that is to manage operational efficiencies or to deliver services to customers electronically, offering new value added digital experiences. Sorry. So that's what I see. In terms of small and medium-sized businesses, there is less maturity. Some of that relates to some of the challenges associated to the costs to implement digital technologies within the organization, clear understanding of the technology available to organizations and what they can do in terms of the value proposition. And then, there's depending on the nature of the business, there's still a little bit of apprehension as to whether you need the technology. We do in some cases have foundational owners who, would say, look, as far as I'm concerned, my business is relatively simple and I've been doing things this manual way for X number of years and I've seen certain value from that, and I don't think I need to do anything. But the market is changing, the demographics of your customers are changing, the expectations and the digital savviness of the customers are changing. So, again, we all, whether you are more mature or less mature, need to really sit down and think about digital as a real enabler of our businesses longer term.
Indeed, indeed. So, what then would you say are the most common gaps or weaknesses in how businesses are adopting digital tools? Is it skills, cost, infrastructure, or perhaps the mindset?
Well, I think it really is a little bit of all of the above. So again, as we mentioned before, sometimes what is the perceived barrier is the cost of entry, the cost to buy computing technology, particular types of applications, other types of software. It's seen as though it's a costly venture. And what's the value proposition against what I'm doing now? Infrastructure wise, I don't know if I really want to say that infrastructure is as much of an issue as it used to be before. I mean, I think we do have a pretty mature telecoms market in terms of availability of fast access to the internet and bandwidth and so on. But there's still quite a bit of work to do in the sense of, again, that availability of particular types of infrastructures, the cost of gaining access to cloud services and so on, both regionally and internationally for some organizations is a little bit of a can be a little bit of a challenge. And as I mentioned before, there's still a little bit around mindset and so on. I mean, on top of that, I think it really boils down to organizations having the maturity and the ability to do planning for the use of digital technology. And by that I mean, do you have a clear understanding of where are the gaps in your business that you want to fill and you may want to automate based on the fact that they're manual and immature processes? And how do you then translate that planning into identifying and implementing the right types of technologies and solutions that actually will add value and deliver on the promise of automation?
Planning. I like that you said that. That's an important component. Now, do you believe the pace of adoption, of digital adoption, that is, here in Barbados, is fast enough to remain competitive regionally, or are we at risk of falling behind?
I think we're at risk of falling behind. And the reason why I say that is that when you look across even some of the smaller islands in our region, you are seeing a lot of energy with regards to organizations and governments looking at digital transformation. And they are indeed Putting resources, whether that be funding and people towards that. They are trying new approaches in terms of building software solutions in-house and so on. And though I think we do a bit of that in the Barbados space, and reality is our government is indeed spending quite a bit on digital transformation, as well as organizations in the private sector. But we're not really just competing against the region, right? We're competing against an international market space that is beginning to dominate and to take over how services are delivered within our jurisdiction. So if we take that reality into consideration, I think we really need to put a bit more effort, planning and execution into the adoption technology. I'll give you very quickly an easy example. Appreciate that over the last how many months, Amazon is delivering products into Barbados. So a retail store in Bridgetown or in Sheraton or any of the other malls is now no longer just competing against their colleagues in a mall or maybe one or two small vendors on social media in the Caribbean and the Barbadian context, but you're now really competing against big players like Amazon, who are not only continuing their traditional online storefront, but they're now delivering to door in our jurisdiction. So, how do we use technology and other services to be able to deliver that same kind of experience seamlessly within the Barbados context and utilizing e-commerce technologies that make it very frictionless? So again, it's not fast enough. We have a bit of work to do to keep pace.
All right. So, as more businesses move online, how serious is the cybersecurity threat? And do you believe local businesses are even doing enough to protect their data and customers?
From my perspective, I think there's been a lot of work and a lot of push that has been done in the cybersecurity space, again, both within the public sector and the private sector, to try to deal with cybersecurity threats. Again, even though we may consider ourselves to be a small jurisdiction that one might think we might not be as targeted as big jurisdictions like the US and Canada and businesses and government organizations that operate therein. But the fact is that yes, we are under threat. We've seen cybersecurity breaches that have occurred both in the public and the private sector. So again, that is testament to the fact that security threats in our region are real and they're happening. We need to continue to do more. I think there's been a lot of effort being made. I think you also have the realities of the Data Protection Act, which though we don't have all of the regulations and full enforcement, there's still a lot of businesses that have recognized the importance of the Data Protection Act, what it means for them as to how they need to protect their customers' data and so on. And some are making moves and strides, but again, I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, both in the public and within the private sector spheres, in order to make sure that we can adequately prepare ourselves to continue to thwart cybersecurity threats that are out there and are real.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We now turn to you, Mr. Augustine Dennis. What are the biggest barriers preventing businesses from fully embracing digital transformation right now? And which of these are the most urgent to fix?
Well, I think the first thing for any sort of transformation is to overcome inertia, apathy. It's the thing, everybody has a mindset, if it's not broke, I'm not going to fix it. I'm fine where I am. I've been running this business for 20 years. Why am I going to go and change anything? And that is a recipe for becoming obsolete. I think, we've had a robust taxi and bus system in Barbados, and you would have seen just in recent months, taxi drivers, bus drivers scrambling to respond to, the threat that Uber perhaps coming to Barbados poses. And these are sorts of the. I'm sitting presently in Toronto on a business development trip, but I remember the advent of Uber here in Toronto and how rapidly it changed something that had been in place for decades, almost overnight. I go down to the lobby of the condo where we are staying, and I see parcel after parcel of Amazon deliveries, things that people would have gone to the local store, as Kalade rightly noted. So the inertia has been, we've been safe for a little while and we have these small insulated markets, but digital threatens that. And it threatens that today. 2026 is not like 2025. That is literally how rapid this is happening. So the context that you have in the last 20 years does not apply post 2025 and so forth. So that's the first thing. The other thing I think is part of that apathy is as well, we've seen perhaps, and I like to be a helpful friend. Whenever I speak to my brothers, I will tell my brothers what they're doing well, and I will also tell my brothers when they need to shape up to take care of themselves. And I think, in the spirit of being a helpful friend, I'll also say that we have had a habitual lack of accountability with regards to progress. I remember in the 2024 budget speech, the Honorable Prime Minister said that, we should not amble our way into the digital future. And yet we are still ambling our way into it 2 years later. I remember the digital transformation tax credit. And Kalade will smile because I harp on this over and over as a prime example of the problem that we have. We had a promise of a 100% digital transformation tax credit in the 2024 budget. Myself, the DX Alliance, some of my colleagues at the Chamber of Commerce, we spent all of 2024 and all of 2025 advocating even for guidance on that tax credit. To date, there was an extension of the tax credit to the end of 2025, but that extension has expired. And still in 2026, there's not even been guidance issued, far less for legislation or anything else. So we are still ambling our way. That inertia is our problem. The lack of accountability is a problem. The belief that we think that we're safe is an issue. And I'll say lastly, our leaky bucket is also an issue. I got into technology 27 years ago because I kept saying yes to harder and harder challenges. I got a certificate. I got certified by Microsoft. I did things and I learned by doing. And yet, we say that we do not have the capacity locally to get the things jobs done, but that is a chicken and an egg thing that we have to solve by doing the work with the people and the resources that we have. You cannot learn digital unless you do digital. And so if we continuously invest in digital and then export our best minds to North America and then re-import that with our dollars through services that we're buying here again, many of which is delivered by our some of our best minds, what we pay to educate, we're going to have this potential, this continuous problem. So I think we need to overcome these hurdles, and they're not hard to overcome.
Yes, thank you. Well, one may say cost is a hurdle, and it's often cited as a major challenge. How realistic is digital transformation for small businesses within the limited budgets?
Very, very realistic. It does not take a lot to engage. I will shout out some of the members of the Barcode group, which I'm a part of. That's a WhatsApp group for Barbadian technologists. There are young, passionate, hungry developers and who are there who have been looking at people's websites and platforms and are just themselves putting out suggestions for how to correct these things, and they're chomping at the bit for the opportunity to help correct those bits. They're not crazy expensive and they can be engaged. So the resources are there, the people are there, and they are relatively affordable. I'll say as well, but we've invested a lot in things that are underutilized. My colleagues over at the Caribbean Export Development Agency have a digital transformation institute with some free publicly available resources that you can use today. So if you go to the Caribbean Export Development Agency's website, you'll find their digital transformation institute, which has a course that you can go through, an assessment tool that you can use. Again, you haven't spent a cent to use the online assessment tool to see where you are and potentially what steps you should be taking. And I'll plug the DX Alliance as well. We are going to soon be launching with a number of partners through things like our signed MOU with the University of the West Indies and the LOI with CTU. We're going to be promoting the registration for a database of digital professionals and service providers throughout the region. So you can go to these places and find local, affordable resources that can help you to plug that gap. So it's affordable. That should not be the barrier. I'll lastly say that as well, there's so many underutilized resources. We've made investments in things like the Caribbean Development Bank has loan guarantees that you can take. So if you are a small business and you're going to a lender who might not want you might want you to have 100%, 120, 150% collateral for your loan, the CDB has facilities by which, if you have the financial records, that you can take that, get a loan guarantee, and then get the financing you need to do that work. Of course, you do need to have those records in place, and there are business support places like, from Small Business Association and others who can help you do that. So the resources are there. That should not be your barrier.
All right. Now, from a cybersecurity standpoint, where are businesses most vulnerable and what mistakes are you seeing repeatedly?
The human aspect. The most breaches happen because of human error. So the biggest thing is, I think the biggest problem has been a culture of blame around cybersecurity incidents. I remember, if this is not my first rodeo, I had ran a software services company, and I remember just a couple of years ago, one of our employees had fell victim to a ransomware attack. And I was so proud that the very first thing he did was unplug his computer and call his manager, right? He did not feel ashamed to do that. He knew it was his responsibility. And we, in our next team meeting, we commended him for that. So rather than hiding that I did something stupid and now I expose the company to this thing and then leaving that attacker sitting in your systems for goodness knows how long, wreaking havoc quietly, you create a culture where people come forward and they're not ashamed of it. Many and some cybersecurity experts in Barbados will know of a couple large institutions, some financial ones that have had quiet cybersecurity failures, but never hit the things because people were ashamed to mention it or ashamed to deal with it. And that is the first thing we have to change. So change the human aspect, make people come forward, get rid of the culture of blame. Most definitely train your people and your organization and then follow up on that in real meaningful ways as well.
Yes. It's a part of life. It may happen. So just deal with it accordingly.
I will say that a cybersecurity incident, if you're around long enough, will happen. It's not a matter of it may happen. It might have already happened, by the way, and you
Yes,
might not even know about it. So it will happen, and you have to be ready. Just like it will rain, you need an umbrella. You have to have a cybersecurity plan. It will happen to you eventually, especially in the climate today.
Well, that's a good segue to my next question. Do you think businesses are underestimating the financial and reputational damage of cyber attacks? And are they prepared to respond when, as you say, one occurs?
They are underestimating it. I think it's a great threat, especially for small businesses. Cybersecurity Magazine said that something like, more than half of the businesses that have these sorts of incidents can go out of business within 6 months when they have major incidents, ransomware in particular. So it's a huge threat, and it's being underestimated most definitely.
All right, word to the wise. What minimum cybersecurity measures should every business have in place, regardless of size or sector? Minimum.
Very first one I would say is password vaults. I use a password vault. It's a tool that you don't, people should have strong passwords, remembering strong passwords, those with combinations of letters and symbols that are not necessarily human readable. They're very difficult to remember. But if you use a tool like a password vault, there's one called like 1Password or one that I use called Bitwarden. Often these things are free. That can help you manage your passwords so you don't forget them and that they're strong passwords. Do that. I'll say that multi-factor authentication is also very important. That's something like, when you log in, you might get a text or a code that you'll enter in on your device, or use an authentication app that's on your mobile device. That's going to help to secure things as well. And lastly, I'll say that having some shadow audits, it's one thing to have policies, but a policy without somebody checking on it is useless. So, you're going to have somebody quietly check what your employees are doing, tests, maybe even hire a cybersecurity expert to kind of do a little bit of a vulnerability testing on you to make sure everything is in order.
All right, thank you very much. All right, and back to you now, Kalade. It's a new year, 2026, and their business is perhaps looking to digital transformation. What practical steps should they take in the next 12 months to move from basic digital use to meaningful digital transformation?
Yeah, well, my view on this is that, again, all of this, returns us to my point around planning, right? Some of that is, being willing to take stock as to where you are within your business. So, as Dennis mentioned, there are a number of free tools that are available out there that can help you to do assessments in terms of your digital maturity, whether or not you're utilizing some of the right tools, what level of automation do you have, and so on. But reality is that, you need to sit down and assess, what do I do today that is manual? What am I doing today that you see adds tedious components to the processes? So meaning, when you look at your service delivery model, is it as efficient and effective as it can be in terms of how you engage and interact with your customers, or how you do execute the processes that you have? Once you take that time to understand your processes and where you have some development gaps that you could improve, you really now begin to focus in on, what are the things that I need to do to, one, either better improve the efficiency of my processes. Once you do that, then that's where you begin to ask yourself the question, now that I've looked at my processes, I have a good idea as to what a good process now looks like that's more efficient, more effective. What is the right technology tool that I can utilize that can help me to automate and drive that digital service delivery that you might be looking for, that will improve the way that you do things?
Thank you. Now, this is for either of you gentlemen. It's easy for us to sit and talk because we believe in digital transformation. But then, how would you advise leadership and management playing a role in driving digital change? How would you advise them as it relates to those in their organizations resistant to new ways of working? This for either of you.
Dems, you want
No, please.
to go?
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, the quick and easy answer to this is, technology and the use of digital is not an IT thing. That's the first thing I want everybody to understand, right? The use of digital is an enabler of your business. So it really is about your processes, it's about your customers, it's about your operation efficiency. So the business has to drive that, which means that from the very top of the organization, you need to now take on a digital mindset. People now talk about a digital first approach to everything. So when you think about new products you want to launch, or if you want to think about improving a system or a process, you should begin with a mindset of, can I automate this? Can I do this better using technology, which will allow me to be quicker, faster, better? And so I think if you get that leadership at the top that says, we're taking this whole mind shift in the organization towards digital, but effective use of digital, and buttress that with change management, as I said, bring your people along on the journey, then I think that is the kind of strong leadership that will allow you to be successful.
Yes, thank you. That's good.
Absolutely. And I think, just to add on to that, Kalade rightly said it, and he started out, talking about what's transformation before. People, processes. I have this 5P framework myself, Kalade, where we talk about the people involved. What are the purposes that they are trying to achieve? Those are both the internal people and the external people. What are the problems standing between those people and achieving those purposes? What are the processes that we take today to achieve those, to solve those problems? Which of those processes are broken? Which of those processes need to be updated?
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, you've given some powerful food for thought. I want to say thank you so much to you both. The time has flown so quickly. as we discuss digital transformation and our businesses keeping up. Thank you so much to you, Kalade Nurse, BCCI's Chair of the Digital Societies Committee,
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
and Dennis Augustine, founder of DX Alliance.
Thank you so much.
And I'm Krista J. Paul, your host for today. If you missed any of today's edition or any previous editions, you can log on to starcomnetwork.net and listen to the podcast. You take care. That's it for Let's Talk Business. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.